In 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter, beginning with the 18th verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this. Then the angel commanded Gad to tell David that he should go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Oren the Jebusite. So David went up, and following Gad's instructions, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord, Oren turned and saw an angel. And while his four sons who were with him hid themselves, Ornan continued to thresh wheat. As David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out from the threshing floor and did obeisance to David with his face to the ground. David said to Ornan, "Give me the site of the threshing floor that I may build on it an altar to the Lord. Give it to me at its full price so that the plague may be averted from the people." Then Ornan said to David, "Take it and let my lord the king do what seems good to him. See, I present the oxen for burnt offerings and the threshing sledges for the wood and the wheat for a grain offering. I give it all." But King David said to Ornan, "No, I will buy them for the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours, nor offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David paid Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the site. And David built there an altar to the Lord and presented burnt offerings and offerings of well-being. He called upon the Lord, and he answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of the burnt offering. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We're going to talk today about regifting. Now, I dare say most of us have regifted. We have received something that, you know, wasn't quite us, and we have found a more suitable person for that gift. And not all regifting is wrong, by the way, but I just loved this cartoon. If you can't read it, it says, "I hope you like this present better than I did when I received it." Things that we don't really like or that we can't really use, and we pass them on. Sometimes it's even a joke. We have in Sunday school parties and things like that, gifts that have been around for years. You know, they just keep going from one person to the other. Now, for Christmas this year, everybody needs to buy Joe Plosser a candle. For those of you who have been with Joe, know that the thing he hates to receive most are candles, and if he gets one, you're going to see it again next year. Because he'll just hang on to it and put it back into the mix. And if you didn't hear that, he said amen. Barb came to me a month ago and gave me this wonderful little present named Diesel. And every time Diesel is misbehaving, I always come up to Barb and say, "Now your cat did this." We have an agreement, you know, it's my cat when she's good. She's our cat when it's all neutral. And she's Barb's cat when she's misbehaving. So let me tell you what your cat did this morning. Woke up with a cat. Goose. Regifting. Anybody want a cat? I wouldn't give her up. But I'll tell you what, we get things and we give them away without much of a thought. If it's not something we want, we just give it away. Most of the time, if it's someone that we care about, though, we put a little more thought into our gift. And should we not give thought to those things that we present to the Lord God Almighty? Didn't we put some thought into that? David said, I'm not going to re-gift. I'm not going to accept the oxen and the wood and this threshing floor that I want for an altar. I can't just accept that from you and give it to God because it cost me nothing. I cannot give to God what cost me nothing. So I saw that and I thought, well, what then is worthy to be given to God? If it's supposed to cost us something, what do we know that God that God has instructed us in His holy word is worthy for His acceptance? And the very first thing that comes up is we're supposed to give Him first fruits. God does not accept second place. Say that with me. God does not accept second place. We're supposed to give Him the first and the best of what we have. Now, the first that we have tends to get a special place. Because the first that we get, we always think of what we want. I don't know about you, but I have a really long list of things I want. It would probably, you know, if I rolled it up, it might go all the way down the aisle. There's all this stuff that I want. But I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about what has first place with our time. What has first place with our love? What's really first place? What's really first place? Because when God said when you get all these wonderful things, when the harvest comes in, when your first child is born, the first of everything is God's. The first of everything. You don't wait and give God your leftovers. In fact, there's a big thing about that in Malachi. In Malachi, the first chapter, it talks about what the priests were doing. The priests were giving moldy bread. They were giving the lambs that were lame or had something wrong with them as offerings to God. And God said, would you give this to the governor? Would you give, if you were going before the governor of the land, would you come with him with a gift of a lame animal or moldy bread? No. Why would we give God our leftovers? We give him our leftover time, our leftover attention, sometimes our leftover love, the leftovers of what we have for financially. We give God our leftovers. A lot of marriages fail because the spouse gets the leftovers. Gets the leftover time, the leftover energy, the leftover everything. Because most relationships don't last. Most covenant relationships don't last unless they have a high priority. Sometimes it's possible for us to go days, a week, without giving God much of even a thought. And you know, just bowing your head over your meal saying, good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat, that doesn't really count. We need to give God our first. We need to show regard. When I'm shopping for a gift for somebody that I regard highly, oh, I take my time. I start way ahead of time. Back when I was shopping for Gary, birthday, Christmas, something like that, I spent a lot of time thinking about what would be the perfect thing. And I always wanted to do, you know, two things, you know, one that you need and one that you just want. Because I had high regard. I have regard for the family's presents that I buy at Christmas. It takes me forever to pick out for the kids. Well, of course, largely that's because everything they want is way out of my price range. But still, I take a lot of time because I want something that's appropriate for them. Something they'll really enjoy. Something that they won't just set aside and re-gift. Because I regard them. I respect them. How much respect do we really show God? It needs to be given in faith. We need to give our gifts to God in faith. We need to give our time to God knowing that we'll have enough time for everything else that we need to do. We need to give God our love, our first place, knowing that by loving Him more, we automatically love other people more. You just can't help it. That was one of the hardest things for me to learn, that loving God more meant that the people that I loved, I actually loved them more. I didn't like take away love from them to give it to God. My love actually increased. We need to trust that God has said all our needs will be supplied. When Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac, he went forward trusting God's promise that through Isaac, a nation would be formed. Now, he didn't know how that was going to work, folks. How can you sacrifice the child of promise and still get the promise? But, you know, he said, okay, this is God. This is the promise. I'm going to trust it. That's amazing to me. When the church began in Acts, we hear that the believers took and sold. They sold land. They sold possessions to give to the poor, trusting that they would have enough. What we give to God is acceptable if we give it in faith and trust of His promises. It has to be given with thanks, with gratitude. Since God loveth a cheerful giver, not something grudging or resentful. I'm going to just say it. I'm going to just say it. I am not condemning. I'm just stating a fact. How many times have I heard somebody say, I've been at church every night this week? If you're begrudging the time you give God, don't give it to Him. If you begrudge the funds that you give, Ross, put your fingers in your ears, honey, and go, then. But if you begrudge it, don't give it. Because we have cheerful givers that will be all right. No matter how tight things get, Joe just fainted. God will put a joy in enough hearts that we'll be all right. You're actually condemning yourself. Don't do it resentfully. Do it or grudgingly. Don't do it because you feel like you have to. Do it because you're thankful. Do it because you are so grateful for what God has done for you, and you just want to do something back. You just want to do something to help. You just want to be a part of whatever the church is doing that is reaching people, that is feeding people, that is sheltering people, that is helping people up, that is bringing healing in all its form into their lives. It's an amazing thing just what a smile given in Christ's name can do. But you have to do it thankfully. Now, before you all think she's pointing at me, I don't remember who has said been here every night. I think we all have at some point. You know, all of us that are here all the time, including myself. But let's give. Let's give of ourselves with joy. It's got to be given with love. Any gift that is given without love is one of three things. It's an investment. You're giving something because you're expecting something back. Or it's charity. I'm giving because somebody needs it. And you can give charity with love. But you know what I'm saying. You know, God doesn't need anything. How absolutely arrogant is it to think that you would give God your charity? Or it's considered a loss. I get it, but that's just something I lost. It's a loss. I could have done this or that with that money, but I could have done this or that with that time. I could have done this or that with that energy. So it's just a loss. And while we're on it, let me say this. We are not doing Monday night or trunk or treat or any of the other things that we do to reach out to this community to bring them into this church so they have. You hear me? We're not doing it to get anything out of them. This is not an investment. This is love is a seed sown that it might grow and produce its own fruit. We've got to get our priorities straight, people. We have got to give to God just because God is God. We've got to stop thinking and wondering what we're going to get out of it. It is not a failure because somebody didn't come to church. We're sowing seeds. We're showing the love of Christ. That's what counts. Give it with love. Or keep it. It's got to be sacrificial. Remember the story of the woman who, the widow that had the two little mites? Those things are so tiny. I actually had two mites at one time, and they're so little I lost them. They're smaller than the end of my little finger. They're teensy. They were worth almost nothing. And Jesus was watching as people were putting their money in and said, The people that gave the big, huge amounts of money did not give as much as she gave because she gave everything. It's not about me telling you, you need to sell everything you own and give it to Kendrick's Creek. It's about me telling you that the Lord God Almighty, if you are a Christian, owns everything you have. It's all available to Him. It's all His. In the Old Testament, it was a tithe. It was 10%. Now it's 100%. Everything you own belongs to God. If you are a Christian, why? Because everything He had, He gave to you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He gave you the best that He had, not because He had to, but because He loved us. Now, what are you going to withhold from Him? What are you going to withhold? Does He get your hour or two once a week? Does He? You know, sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, I'm not telling you anything I haven't. Like I say, I preach to myself. Y'all just get to hear it. How many times have I thought I really want to just do something else? There have been those times I would have liked to have slept in on Sunday. What's really sad is I'm afraid you wouldn't notice. I dare not try it. It's got to cost you something. If there is nothing more valuable than your time, because every moment spent is a moment gone. You can make more money, but your time is so valuable. What I really mean to say is this. Cheap, part-time, selfish religion is not acceptable to God. Period. Cheap, part-time, selfish religion is never acceptable to God. Cheap, part-time, selfish religion is not acceptable to God. He's got too much given into us to allow us to do anything but be like His Son. He's offering that. Will we take it? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.